The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. This is Dr. Craig, eager to share with you what I believe is the cutting edge of spirituality in our day. In spite of all the calamities in our world, I am filled with hope and joy that we, you and I, and all humanity, are on the verge of a new spiritual awakening. This shift in spirituality is perhaps best expressed by declaring, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that's what I want to explore with you in these podcasts of Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. Today's topic is led by the Spirit. Many in today's world believe in a higher power. God is somewhere up there, out there, but for many, God doesn't seem to have much of anything to do with us in our life here on this earth. Yet, the major world faiths give witness to the divine Spirit within us and guiding us. We can be led by the infinite Spirit into knowing our true self and being of service to others in ways that we never imagine. Let me share a couple of instances of being led by the Spirit. The first is a journey taken by Linda and Alan. I got to know this beautiful and loving couple at the time when Alan was terminally ill with cancer. There were a number of what I call luminous moments surrounding Alan's passing. But one such moment where Alan was remarkably led by the Spirit, even over centuries, was shared to me at the time of Linda and I gathering to prepare Alan's memorial service. Linda and I have collaborated on writing up this luminous moment, and the narrative is best told from her perspective. As an undergraduate student at Georgetown University, I had the marvelous opportunity to spend my junior year abroad, studying there for a year at the University of Madrid. I knew I would return to the magnificent country and that Spain would play a major role in my life. I never imagined that it would be so significant for my future husband. Alan always told me that the greatest gift I brought to our marriage was introducing Spain to him. We made many trips there over the years, enjoying the magnificent countryside, cities, and cultural treasures of Spain. Alan's first trip to Spain was the most monumental spiritually. It was April vacation week. We were both teachers, and we decided we'd use that week to get to Spain, an introduction, as it were, for Alan. I took him to some of my favorite spots in Seville, Cordoba, Granada, in the southern region of Andalusia. Alan hadn't had time to read the travel book before we left, but he was content to see Spain with me as his guide. It was our visit to Cordoba that truly moved Alan's soul. There, he spiritually experienced being led by the Spirit into his unknown ancestry. We were walking through the ancient Jewish ghetto, which is a section of short, narrow, twisting cobblestone streets, only wide enough for a horse and carriage. The identical white stucco houses created a tricky labyrinth. Our guide warned us, stay together, since it was very easy to get lost. One could end up going round in circles, he said, in this quaint Jewish ghetto. Alan was enjoying the walking tour in that meticulously preserved, unique town quarter. But suddenly, he felt bad. He felt compelled. No, I would put it stronger than that. He felt that he must leave the tour. He said we should turn off, go to the right, and we would come to a synagogue. I told him that was a ridiculous idea. How could he know his way? He'd never been to this city before. I got really nervous. I didn't think we should get separated from our tour group. But Alan insisted. He said he had been felt led. Then, lo and behold, we did come to a small 14th century synagogue with a wall of Hebrew inscriptions. I will never forget that awe-inspiring moment. Alan was elated. He continued to wander on his own past a monument to Moses Maimonides, a famous Jewish philosopher and physician who was born in Cordoba. Alan seemed enthralled and even emotional. Alan had realized that the old synagogue was the sacred magnet which led him off the tour and away from all common sense. He immediately felt an uncanny affinity with that historic synagogue. Alan had no earthly understanding of why he was drawn beyond logic to follow his own path, especially as he boldly struck out on his own in that neighborhood that was totally unknown. Or was there a deeper knowing at work here? 15 years went by. Alan and I then took a trip to Hungary to scatter his father's ashes in the Danube River. There, he met, for the first time, his only living relative, his cousin Erika, in Budapest. Although Alan had only an inkling of his Jewish background, his cousin knew the entire truth of it. She told him his great-grandfather was a high rabbi of Istanbul, and explained that there were, in fact, extensive, precise rabbinical records dating back over the century, tracing the family's Sephardic origin back to Spain. She explained that in 1492, the Catholic Queen and King of Spain, Isabel and Ferdinand, expelled all the Jews. Over 150,000 were forced out of Spain. Hence the term Sephardic Judaism. A great number went to Turkey. And the sad truth is that prior to the Edict of 1492, the Christians, Muslims, and Jews had lived together in relative harmony, all contributing to the culture and glory of Spain. Alan was fascinated by his cousin's revelations. Then she said, yes, there is a detailed account giving information that all our prominent Jewish ancestors were settled in the city of Cordoba, and some were rabbis in the synagogue there. Alan and I both gasped, recalling his deep deja vu feelings in approaching the synagogue there in Cordoba. Alan was truly overwhelmed by this confirmation of his spiritual heritage and journey. Sitting in stunned silence, Alan and I tried to grasp the enormity of this spiritual connection. Truly, in this transmission of spiritual roots, we were led by a knowing beyond knowing. Isn't that a remarkable journey of being led in the Spirit? Knowing beyond knowing, indeed. In their case, even over the centuries. I myself have had many experiences in my own life of being Spirit-led. One of the more dramatic occurred in this way. I was on a day-long trip to the Edgar Casey-based Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach to attend a spiritual conference there. It had been a frustrating day because of all the major traffic jams that I encountered going down Interstate 95. It was now evening, and I had already calmed myself by being at peace with the fact that I would miss the conference startup that night. Once in Virginia Beach, I wanted to make sure that I would not miss the exit to get there. So I traveled in the curb lane of the interstate. There was another car just in front of my bumper on the left in the fast lane. All of a sudden, it was as if I heard a voice from outside of me, but heard deep within, shout at me, swerve now. And immediately I veered sharply to the right, into the breakdown lane. Then there was a blur of awareness of a car aimed right at my driver's door and swooshing by me at a high rate of speed. I was so traumatized at this near colossal collision that I crept to a stop on the berm. I was flooded with an awareness that if I had not veered precisely at the moment I was told to, I would have been creamed by that reckless car and might well have lost my life. Needless to say, I gave thanks to God and to any heavenly hosts that had watched over me and probably saved me. Well, just so, I encourage each of you to look back over your own life and to discern where you have been led by the Spirit. I'm sure it's there, and it's important to recall these luminous moments. By doing so, such recollections keep us centered in God and determined to stay strong in our spiritual quest. Further, these luminous recollections keep us open to the divine leadings that are all around us each and every day. These are usually not terribly dramatic. Actually, most are really quite subtle, but nevertheless real. I call them nudges that are given to help us to respond in goodness to any particular situation and to realize some appropriate benefit for ourselves at times as well. The Spirit is indeed guiding us, watching over us. To gain these blessings, we have to learn to be constantly open to the spiritual leadings we are given. Like anything in true value in this life, this spiritual discipline takes dedication and practice. That's why one of the spiritual classics of the Christian tradition, written by a simple monk whose task it was to watch pots and pans there in the monastery and scrub floors, ended up writing, a spiritual classic entitled Practicing the Presence of God, which is what he tried to do even in the simplest of tasks, and there to see God's presence, even in the most mundane of things. So may it be for each of us, as we are led by the Spirit. With that, I sign off, and I thank you for tuning in to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. If you want to contact me, I'd be glad to receive your concerns or even your criticism. Yes, I welcome it all. You have opportunity to do that right there on the podcast page. So please take advantage of that. I'd love to hear from you. I leave you then with a heartfelt blessing. Know that you are infinitely precious to God and that God loves you. Know that you have a unique purpose in God, and may all that you do be done in loving service. Know that you are living eternal life in God even now, in this moment, and forever. Amen.